from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
You know, Spike O'Neill, I want to take this time to just say that the way the weather is right now in Seattle, this is the ultimate weather. Right here. I just want to say that because that other stuff's too hot. This is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's out today. Spike O'Neill is in with us. Good morning to you, Spike.
Good morning, my friend. And I couldn't agree with you more. This is why we're one of the fastest growing cities in the world. We have been for decades now.
Yeah.
There may be a time when we're the last city in America that's under 90 on an average. I don't know. It seems to be getting a lot warmer, a lot faster. But
no doubt about it. Hey, in this hour, we got 10:45. We got scenarios happening. And coming up at 10:30, find out what happens when a CEO has to lay off a bunch of his employees. Will we do that next? But right now, it's time to get to what's new at 10.
What's new at 10?
And I got to lead off the 10 o'clock hour with the Mariners. Because you know what? People are getting excited again all about these Mariners. And who did they beat? They beat the number one enemy right there, the New York Yankees.
The evil empire.
Again.
Yes.
Seattle came back in the seventh inning, trailing 3-2 when Carlos Santana stepped to the plate.
And he drives one right field. That ball is going back. Giddy up, gone! Home run, Carlos Santana! And the Mariners have a 4-3 lead.
Oh, man, the Mariners right now, they're 61-52. They just won their second series against the Yankees in the month of August. And real quick, I know my buddy AJ is probably listening. He's a huge Yankee fan, and maybe you're a Yankee fan, and you've been going over to the game. Well, I'm glad your time was spoiled, and I'm glad his was too. But I want to be clear about something. This is the second series that the Mariners have won against the Yankees in the month of August now. And what? Check this out. When they won that series, this is the first time that they've done this in 20 years. Spike O'Neill, let me just tell you why I believe that baseball being good in this city is probably the best thing that can happen. Here's why. Because when people go watch football games, there's only a small percentage of people that can really relate to what's happening out there. Now, you've probably been watching it, but you probably, not a lot of women maybe played a lot of football game, and maybe a lot of men have played a lot of football. But when you start talking about baseball is something that I truly believe that we can all relate to. We all have gone out there, played catch with our moms or dads or our sisters or our brothers. We're with a glove on. We relate to our little league experience or softball. Man, baseball, and especially good baseball in Seattle, is electric. And this is the year to go to the playoffs, Spike.
I hope you're right. And I think there's those of us of a generation, certain generation. You're a little bit younger than me, but we're the same generation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We all played ball as a kid.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that continues because I don't know that that's the case of this newest generation.
No, it's not.
It's not. And it's a shame because it's an amazing game. It's the perfect game. It's a Field of Dream game tonight, right? It's a second Field of Dreams game tonight. It's the perfect game. It really is. But it's not built for the attention span of this generation. And I blame MTV. I blame MTV and your 3-minute videos and your constantly changing perspectives. Thanks MTV for the shortened attention span. But the Mariners are not just on fire, but when the 14-game win streak happened and the whole country took notice of the Mariners,
right?
We had beaten some teams that weren't the best competition in Major League Baseball. And we built up this pad of wins in a row to kind of give us a cushion when we stumbled from time to time, as you do through a 162-game season. Then we got our clocks cleaned by the Astros. Again, a team that seems to just have our number. And the Yankees were the perfect salve for that. That psychological, are we that good? Can we do this? The confidence level of the Mariners themselves, the Mariner team, and to beat the Yankees 2 series in a row, to beat them solidly. That 1-0 game was just a marvel.
13 innings. That was
a
phenomenal.
Marvel. I was talking to Stacy from our sports from 710.
Okay,
I've known Stacy for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really, really proud and glad to see her moving through the ranks of sports broadcasting to a position she so clearly deserves. Kids and baseball fans in general, this next generation of baseball fans need offense. They really do. They need long balls. They need boom, boom, boom. You know, and I get that that sells tickets. Same thing in football. Offense sells tickets. Defense wins championships. But that axiom is true across all sports. You know, if people say the 1-0 13 inning Mariner win wasn't exciting enough because there's no offense. It's hard to watch. Man, baseball changes on every pitch, single pitch. Spike, I love that.
Spike, you and I, you say we're close in age, and there are some people that just love that 1-0 game, 13 innings, and all those things. No doubt about it. But it is a little bit of truth. Before I move on from this topic, it is a little bit of truth. When it comes to baseball, they are going to have to design it to where there are more home runs. Design it to where there are, hey, that score was 16-14, and it's going to be a lot of games like that. And if you don't think that I'm right on this, look at the NFL. Look at how they've changed the game so that there can be more offense. There are more points scored. No longer do you see 3-0 games in the NFL because that does not sell well. Even people, you want baseball to really thrive? I'm not talking about the diehard baseball fans, because in order for baseball to thrive, you're gonna need the pedestrian fan. Well, what's the pedestrian fan? Well, the pedestrian fan is one that's like, I don't really care too much about baseball, but when the Mariners are playing, I'm watching because it's exciting, because there's home runs that are happening, and we learned a lesson back in 1998 with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and that whole home run duel. Everybody was focused on baseball in this country. So I do want baseball to kind of figure that out a little bit. I don't know if you got to move the fence in a little bit, have more home runs, have more scores. I do look forward to that happening. Let's get to the next topic.
But wait a minute, G. There was a debate that we didn't mention earlier that you said that it could settle everything. We beat the Yankees. I think Tucker the Dog might have lifted the spirits
of the
team, and they're just on a roll even more now.
To be able to beat the good teams from a psychological was all I was trying to say about that. Yeah. You know, you got to be able to, and we've proven that we can. We can compete and win with anybody in baseball.
Yep.
What's new at 10?
All right. The second topic is there's a little bit of good news today. Inflation looks to be slowing down. Here's CNBC on the new numbers.
We don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that inflation is coming down. The issue is that we ought to be adults about this. The president saying we had zero inflation, I think, was a bit rich. Inflation is coming down to levels that a year ago we would have thought were astronomically high. The fact of the matter is, just because the markets like this number doesn't mean the viewers are going to like this number. We want to see more minus signs in the future, but we'll take good news wherever we can.
Spike O'Neill, let me tell you, I want to really get into this because, you know, and President Biden, I think he made a mistake when he came out like, oh, there seems to be zero inflation and all this kind of stuff. When you are struggling financially to try to pay your bills, to try to balance the little money that you have after you've gotten your paycheck and after your bills have been paid and you're thinking about buying groceries or you're thinking about buying gas or you're thinking about doing something for your kids. Let me tell you something. As someone who struggled financially their entire adult life, I don't look at inflation, the percentage, and if it's 6.7 this time, or all I know is this. I know that my bills, it is hard for me to pay. Proof of that, here in Seattle, Seattle City Light is talking about raising rates 5%. At the grocery store right now, things are higher. Even though gas prices have come down, they're still high. So at the end of the day, let's not try to put lipstick on a pig here. Let's not try to disguise it. Things are rough for people right now, Spike.
I couldn't agree with you more. As a guy who's also struggled financially, I come from very modest means. I've been very lucky, and I've had a career in radio that's helped my family achieve middle-class status. My parents fought their way to claw to the bottom of middle class my whole life. And when it's tough, it's tough. You can't look at the forest for the trees, is the saying, right? You can't look at a weekly number or a monthly number and get an overall picture. Like you said, you have to see how this is hitting people in the pocketbooks. But the fuel sector came down. And that's kind of a driving force behind most inflation. I mean, most of the pricing on things that we see every day, like food, whatnot, that's shipping of food, transportation of food. All those are impacted by fuel, the fuel sector. So when that comes down, hopefully that will bring the other prices will start to come back into line. And let's not forget that a global pandemic interrupted the global supply chain. These factors, these situations are global, not just products of the Biden administration or various policies that they have put in place since in the 2 years since he's been in office. This is a global economic situation, and that global situation will start to right itself and come back into a normal range. It's going to take time, but it's already started. That's why maybe the 1 month number is good to see. At least we're turning this tanker, oil tanker, in the right direction.
For me, there's three costs that I, even to this day, and I have a job now and I'm doing okay, but there's three costs that I look at.
Shoes, food. No, I'm sorry. I know you love your shoes, man.
I do.
I'm in awe.
I do love the shoes. No, I didn't. No, not the cost of shoes, because that's selective. I can decide whether or not. But rent would be one. Okay. Like for a long time, I look at rent. I look at what I'm going to be paying for gas and what I'm going to be paying at the grocery store. Like, those things cannot move. Like, I got to live, I got to drive, and I got to eat. And I'm bringing that up because I'm looking at rental prices right now. And right now, rental prices nationwide are up nearly 15% from a year ago. 25% since 2019. And Spike, the reason why I'm bringing that up is this. We know what interest rates are, so we know that there are people that have been priced out. They cannot get into a home. Maybe they don't have that down payment. So now they're forced to make sure they continue to rent. And then when you have to continue to rent, I just told you that rent is up 25%. So again, when we start looking at the inflation numbers and, oh, this is down and this is doing better, stop it. Folks are hurting and they're struggling.
And rent's the one that doesn't fluctuate.
Ooh-wee.
When rents go up, they don't come back down when things get a little better.
No, they don't. Let's get to the third one right now. Bill Gates, whose foundation funds polio vaccines, warns that the disease's reemergence in New York is a threat to us all. He's been fighting against polio around the world for years. Here is him talking about this in 2019.
We are having a problem in Nigeria where there have been bad rumors spread about the vaccine. And of course, even here in the U.S. with measles now, we're seeing that getting the word out that vaccines are safe is, you know, not that easy to do. The negative rumors somehow can outrun the positive rumors about how valuable the vaccine is.
Spike, this disease was thought to be eradicated, but now it's coming back.
New York reported their first polio case in nearly a decade in New York. And what I fear the most is the war on information, the war on news sources. Who can you trust? Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that if the media had been what it is today, back when polio was an issue, we'd still have polio. You know, when I was a kid, you walked in line in your classroom in kindergarten or first grade. They lined up the whole school and they brought the vaccine gun in, and we all got a vaccine. I still got the mark on my arm from it. And you know, you could trust that the government, the CDC, the Department of Health, whatever it was, knew what was best for folks. And now we're in a culture where you can't believe what you hear anymore. You're told you can't believe what you hear anymore. I fear for that with polio. I fear that the misinformation campaigns, the you can't trust what you hear people, are going to push back on the science and the necessary steps it takes to make sure the polio doesn't return.
Same. And as someone who has never studied this, I personally don't have a choice but to listen to the experts. But then sometimes I try to, and especially in doing this show every single day, right? And then when I'm preparing for the show, or let's just say I read a story, and then when I'm reading a story or a news article about something, or with this topic, and I'm bringing this up because when I was reading about this particular topic and the first polio, this polio case and how it's coming back, and then we have everybody having their opinion on those things, I was thinking, okay, I know how I think, but I try to put myself in the shoes of someone else. And I try to say, I wonder why they think that way. Like, do they think that these experts or these folks, these folks that study infectious diseases, do you think they are really trying to scare us? Or do you really believe that there is really these things that are happening that is to be true. And so I try to do that. And I guess what it is I guess even for me or for you, I guess it depends on who you believe and who you listen to. I do have, ever since COVID has happened, and because before COVID, let's be real, I didn't follow any virologists or epidemiologists or anything.
Neither did I.
Okay, I want to be very truthful.
Because we were safe and in a safe place, we didn't have to worry about
our
family.
The most thing I worried about was like the flu. But now we're hearing all the monkeypox and all of these different things that are coming up. And the one of the things that I'm sitting here watching is the continuation of, all right, hey, it's kind of serious, but don't be alarmed. Oh, it's kind of serious, but don't be alarmed. But it kind of triggers me because that's kind of how it was with COVID, right? When COVID first happened and the first cases were being talked about and it was being talked about over there and in Wuhan, China and stuff like that. In January of 2020, I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Don't be alarmed. It's going to be cool. And then it happens. So I guess sometimes there's a part of me, Spike, that sits back and says, well, if it is and when it is serious, how do we know? Well, and I don't think anybody can really answer that. And that's the most concerning because everybody has different opinions about something so serious.
Yeah, but just because we have differing opinions, don't mean we all have the same experiential knowledge, the same years of education and training. All opinions are not created equal. We all have a right to an opinion. But just because we can all speak to something doesn't mean we're all as equally informed and equally knowledgeable and equally correct about a topic. You know, there was never an Ebola outbreak in this country, even though Ebola was a very serious situation health-wise globally, because there were systems in place on the ground around the world to make sure that diseases and viruses were caught early, controlled at the source and kept in check. Mm. And when those systems are removed, when those protective systems are removed, that's when stuff takes off and goes global. And that's what happened with COVID.
Did you get the chicken pox when you were younger?
I got chicken pox when I was younger. And then I got, shingles later in life. I'm Irish. I can do anything. I can do anything wrong twice. I'm Irish. It's horrible because the chickenpox vaccine, a virus lives in your body, lives dormantly in your body.
I gotta say, to this day, my chicken pox experience, I thought I was about to die during those times because I feel like I was the first one in my family to have it, and everybody's looking at me and I was all messed up. And I never forget, I was when I got my first one on my arm and I came to my mom and I was itching real bad. She says, oh, you just stop scratching it. From the time she said stop scratching it, about 20 to 30 minutes later, I'd had them all over my face. Still to this day, still one of the scariest
things. Yeah, horrible.
Hey, coming up next, what happens when a CEO has to let go a bunch of his employees? We talk about that next. Gian Ursula with Spike O'Neill. It is the Gian Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to everybody. Ursula is out and Spike O'Neill is in. We will be doing scenarios coming up next. It's an opportunity for all of us to get an opportunity to judge someone else's life. But right now, hey, Chris, real quick, was there no sound of the CEO?
No, it was a post on LinkedIn.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to bring this up because often we hear about layoffs and we hear, or maybe you have gone through a layoff and we hear about that side of it. But usually we don't hear the side of the CEO, at least the vulnerable side, if you will. The CEO of a company that specializes in optimizing LinkedIn posts posted a tearful selfie on social media alongside an announcement that he had laid off some of his employees. His name is Brandon Wallach, and his company is called Hypersocial. He said he was only trying to show the difficulties that business owners go through themselves when they have no other choice but to lay off people. His post said this will be the most vulnerable thing I'll ever share. Hypersocial, this is the CEO said this. Days like today, I wish I was a business owner that was only money driven and didn't care about who he hurt along the way. but I'm not. So I just want people to see that not every CEO is out there that is cold-hearted and doesn't care when he or she has to lay off people. I'm sure there are hundreds and thousands of others just like me. So, Spike, this coming from this selfie in a picture of him being in tears and crying, as you can imagine, has been lit up on social media. Everybody giving their take on this topic. Some saying, oh, I never saw a CEO be so vulnerable. And some saying, yeah, right. Your thoughts on this topic?
Well, first off, we all love to tear something down. That's just human nature. So I'm not surprised there are people, oh, way to make it about you. You know, because you're the one that still has a job. Well, this guy hasn't paid himself in this job in almost a year. Mm-hmm. This CEO. So this guy may be not your standard cut of CEO. We've all seen stories where the bank managers, and when I say managers, not the guy at your local branch office here in town, but the executives of major companies, corporations get these monstrous CEO pay dividends, regardless where the company lives, breathes, or dies. And they get massive amounts while there's massive layoffs. So maybe that is what we're used to seeing in CEOs. But this guy showed us that there are people who really cared. You know, he hasn't taken a paycheck from his company. And he tried to make it work. And he had to let folks go. And he cares about the people that work for him. It's nice to see that those kind of folks are actually out there. They really do live and breathe.
When I saw this, I just knew before I even saw some of the backlash, I just knew, like, oh boy, this isn't going to go over well. Because sometimes there seems to be, like, it could be a CEO of a company that employs 4 people or 500 people or 5,000. There is kind of in this world the demonization of CEOs, considering when you look at the money that's being made compared to the rest of the employees, all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it's often justified.
Yes. But I wanted to take the other side of this to say that bosses, managers, those that are in charge of budgets, they have a hard job to do. And sometimes when you have that budget, whereas that you have to, and by the way, as someone who has never been in charge of a big company, I've done some detailing and car detailing. You guys know about that. But I can only imagine what that's like, knowing that, hey, the numbers aren't there. Money's not coming in. And in order for the business to survive, I'm going to have to make cuts. And when you make cuts, it's one thing to make cuts on paper. Like, okay, this is what needs to be done. We need to cut here. We minus here. And then 3 employees have to go. And then we're going to be able to survive. And I think on paper, it's easy. But to actually make that cut, a human, to talking to another human that is possibly has bills, has family, has to take care of their loved ones, to have to actually tell them that you're going to have to lay them off, I wouldn't want that responsibility, Spike. That would crush me. And so I'm willing, and I'm telling you right now, I can't be a CEO.
And that's a necessary trait of a good CEO in a lot of situations. I mean, you're right. Business is business is business. And sometimes everybody can't make it. I mean, sometimes when you see industries propped up by the government, and, you know, that's against the nature of commerce, of what we do, of how our society works in a capital society. Sometimes businesses have to fail. It's just like any herd of water buffaloes. You know, you pick off the slow, weak ones at the end so that the whole herd is stronger. It's not different in business, but CEOs should, you're right, gee, if CEOs had to come to town and fire you face to face instead of just doing it on paper, maybe they'd have more empathy and try to find other ways to save money. Maybe if we weren't spending $1 zillion taking all the CEOs to Cancun for this big rally trip we do every year, we could save a couple guys who are barely making a living working to support the business that we do. I'm speaking from an inside baseball radio perspective at this point. You know, I've seen guys are just fighting their way up through the industry, trying to climb the ladder of success, building new skills, elevating to new opportunities, and then they get whacked from a corporate level coast to coast because we gotta cut some budget here, guys.
I like that the CEO did it. And the reason why, I'm serious, because the reason why I did like that, and by the way, you could go ahead and ha ha ha, the tears. Sure. As a matter of fact, maybe depending on my mood, maybe 2 weeks ago, I probably would have done the same thing. So I can see you doing that. But again, no matter what your opinion is of any CEO, which like Spike said, and like I'll say, so they're warranted, like understandably so. But you have to admit there has to be a human element of that. And there has to be a tough call to make when you have to let individuals, human beings, friends, coworkers, subordinates, when you have to let them go and make that call. That has to be a very hard thing. One of the things that I am definitely concerned about for that CEO. So I'll give him that benefit of the doubt.
And before we move on to the next story, I must say right now that I was making eye contact with Nick when I talked about people climbing the ladder in the radio industry being let go for budgetary reasons. Nick, I was not speaking about this company. The look on your face changed when I said that. I wasn't talking about
that conversation.
Brother.
I need eyes in the back of my
no,
head.
No, brother.
Man.
That was a different company. Different radio group than the one we are with today.
Nick, you're safe, bro.
You are safe.
Yeah, you're safe. You're
at
good.
Least as far as we know.
Good to know. I'm well assured
at
this point.
We CEOs.
Hey, coming up next is time for scenarios. A little break from the news, a little action, and then we'll come back with Agree to Disagree at 11 o'clock. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show as Ursula is out and Spike O'Neill fills in for Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Spike O'Neill in for Ursula. Coming up next, we will do Agree to Disagree. But right now, let's get to it. Scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Hey, Spike, I just want you to know, this scenarios that we're about to do is probably one of my favorites. Here we go. I am trying to become an Instagram model and influencer who relies on social media engagement to make money. You know, there's a lot of people that's making money doing this. Well, all my friends know this and are aware they might wind up in one of my photos. And they get it. And if my career takes off, they will be Insta famous. Well, over the weekend, we were drinking champagne at a nice brunch spot. We did a toast photo that is getting more engagement than anything I have posted in 3 months. Well, one of the girls, who I barely even know, has contacted me and wants me to take the photo down. She says she never gave permission for me to post it in the first place, and she thinks she looks fat in the photo. Since it's doing so well, several of her friends have seen it and says she says it embarrasses her. But I have a certain number that I have to hit. I'm building a career, and this photo is helping me get there. I've told her I won't take it off, and she's not happy about it. What should I do? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Spike O'Neill, you're up to bat first.
First off, I have no idea how people can make money as an influencer. I've seen it. You're right. There are children who make millions of dollars on Instagram or whatever social media platform they've figured out how to monetize. This is a real business model nowadays. So let's start there. The woman who wrote the scenario has a legitimate question about her business model and this element of it moving forward. The photo of the woman who finds it unflattering. I think if you're going to use something as a business tool like this photo, you have to have permission from everybody in the photo. I mean, that seems like that's not an unreasonable request. I mean, is she the star? Is this unattractive friend the star of the photo? Is it a photo featured around her? Does she have an apple in her mouth while you guys are all toasting in champagne? You know, is taking her out going to alter the effectiveness of this photo? If it's not, if she just doesn't like how she looks in it, I mean, the fact that you can find five women that all take a picture and they all think they look good in the same picture, that there, my friend, is a news headline. Blur her out. Blur her out and keep the picture right back up where you're using it.
Chris Martin, what you got, bro?
I'd say to her, do something worthwhile with your life.
Oh, my God.
Stop doing idiotic things like being an influencer. That's what I'd say to her.
Oh. Wow.
Chris, I'm buying you brunch after this,
buddy. Wait.
I am.
No. Hold on. First of all, I'm disappointed in both of you, especially Chris, but Chris is the nicest mean guy I've ever met in my life. Okay, you can have this opinion about social media influencers and, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're getting paid. Well, let's go to the Super Bowl and how much it costs to have a commercial on during the Super Bowl. And you might say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that a company like Burger King and or McDonald's or Taco Bell or Range Land Rover would pay $1 million for a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl, or 15 seconds.
That was Super Bowl 8, by the way. It was $1 million. It's up to
right.
like 5.
It's like 5 million now. Yeah. So here's my thing. Where is the young generation, Nick? Where is Gen Z? They're on their phones, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They're on their phones. So you guys can laugh at it all you want. But your kids, Spike, my kids, and other people's kids, they're on their phone. And then you say to them, oh, get off your phone, get off your phone. That's where the advertising dollars are, baby.
But, so, Daddy, I'm making $500,000 this month. Like, then by all means, pay. Sweetie, you have at that phone.
Right? You know what I mean? So, look, and as far as this is concerned, hey, that friend will be there later when you blow up. Do not take that picture down. Leave it up. And they knew. And by the way, now she's talking about, oh, my friends say I look fat. Well, you know what? You look at your profile pictures. Everyone's profile pictures look fantastic. And then you go to the pictures where there's photos of you where you've been tagged in someone else's. Let's be real. Your profile pictures look better than the photos that you've been tagged in.
Yeah, there's got to be a filter. Got to be a filter to fix this picture in that lady, right? Slim her up.
Absolutely. So, and I, you know, I'm just so mad at you right now, Chris. I'm just so mad at you.
Why? Being honest?
What is your hate for social media? Why? Because that's where everybody is, Chris.
I don't hate social media, and I disagree with Super Bowl ads. It makes me so mad when people talk about the Super Bowl. Did you see the ads? Oh, what an ad, you know, Apple had. It's like, are you out of your mind? It's a commercial. So it's a fundamental problem with the whole system.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to remind you before I throw the Nick. I'm going to remind you of something very, very simple. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Ads are the reason you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. All right, what do you got there, Nick?
Well, I mean, taking photos, it comes with the territory. What was this friend thinking? The photo is just going to be put in the friend's back pocket and stored away forever? I mean, there's no contract in that says, I'm going to keep it private forever. She didn't think that when she was hopping into the photo at the time. Ooh, I want to get in there with you, friends. Come on.
She's having brunch with an influencer. What'd she think was going to happen?
Exactly. Comes with the territory.
Okay, now there you go, Spike.
Hey, I admitted that I have no idea what the hell influencers are. I don't know how they do it. If I knew, I could do it.
Wait a minute. Spike, are you on social media?
Not as much as I need to be in this modern era. I'll be the first to admit that. But I'm a dinosaur. I'm soon to be fossil fuel.
Chris, are you on social media, fam?
Yeah, not tons. I mean, I'm on Facebook a little bit and Instagram when I have to.
So, what do you say on Instagram? Do you post anything?
No, I'm a lurker.
Oh,
I'm the same way, Chris.
So let me get this straight. Chris just admitted that he doesn't post, but he's a lurker. So why would you not advertise on social media? Because of lurkers like you, Chris.
All right, let's get rid of the whole system.
Does this pizza make me look fat? I mean,
all right, coming up next, it's time for Agree to Disagree. You guys are listening to the Gene Ursula Show with Spike O'Neill. I say, oh, no.